During 2009, the International Olympic Committee decided that women's boxing will be part of the London Games 2 years from now. I don't know how you feel about that. The thought of women punching each other is confronting and it challenges stereotypes. But actually, women's boxing goes back a long way. It was a demonstration sport in 1904. Misha Mertz is captivated by the sport. Once she got a taste for the sweet science, it became a consuming passion. Misha, author of Bruising, A Boxer Story, was my studio guest not long after winning all five of her bouts in the master division of the US National Women's Golden Glove title.
Hi, Richard.
You must be excited about the IOC's decision. What does it mean for the profile of women's boxing?
Well, I think it brings it into the world of legitimate sport and out of the margins of novelty, where it's been for, you know, I mean, it's been growing steadily for the past 10 to 15 years, but still people react to it like it should be in a strip club or something, you know, a lot of the time. You know, the stamp of approval from the IOC really says that women's boxing is a sport and it's to be taken seriously and the competitors are, you know, capable athletes and not sort of novelty acts. So it's a great thing.
Yeah, well, what is the popularity of women's boxing in Australia? How many women do it?
Well, a very small number. And that's going to pose a problem for them when they get to those international competitions, because there hasn't been a lot of opportunities for them to improve, and really improvement comes from competition. It's been a pretty hard road for them, but there's a handful of extremely talented women boxers in Australia, but they're spread very thinly, you know, across the country.
Do you still think the sport has an image problem here? Because, I mean, when I was reading your book, actually, I was thinking I've never seen women box, and I admit to feeling conflicted about men boxing, because part of me thinks, oh, geez, that's dangerous, and part of me finds it utterly compelling as a spectacle.
Yes, well, boxing is a problematic sport from that point of view, whether men or women do it. So it's, you know, you always watch boxing, I think, with mixed feelings about why you're watching it and whether it's right, and the sort of moral questions inevitably come up, you know, even for fans, even for people who are like myself. But that compelling quality, I think, is something to do with the sort of the purity of it and the raw honesty of it. You know, it's a very intense conflict, but it's also very cooperative. So it's full of all these kind of paradoxical things. And I mean, when I started, people really even doubted that women would get to this point. You know, they just didn't think. It's a bit like women's surfing, you know, which has sort of progressed at the same time.
You compete as a master now, but I want to go back to what got you into the ring in the first place. How did you start?
I think what got me into the ring is what gets a lot of people into the ring, and it's a pretty simple thing. It's just, oh my God, I need to get fit. And so
But lots of people go swimming, Misha.
Yeah, that's right, and I did. And I just thought, I can't do this, it's too boring. I was sort of attracted to the idea of, you know, hitting things, because over the years I've enjoyed hitting things, not people, but, you know, drums and squash balls and things like that. I knew I had a bit of upper body strength, so I thought I'd try a boxer size class, and really that was the beginning. And it developed pretty gradually to boxing from that point. You know, it was a very, very slow process for me to get to the stage where I thought I might want to have a fight. It was a few years, actually.
Didn't someone hit you or try to mug you or something?
Yes, but that wasn't... That was what... I was the victim, I guess, of at the wrong end of a mugging by two women. It was just one of those things that just sort of upset all the cliches about violence in the streets. I was attacked by two women in broad daylight, and I'd just been boxing for about 6 months, I guess. So I thought, well, what better time to test out my left jab than when two women are attacking me? And as soon as I got into a boxing stance and started to look like I knew what I was doing, they were just out of there. They just fled. But what that experience left me with was a sense of what it's like to be engaged in a fight, you know, that it was exciting. And actually, I enjoyed it because I guess I won that fight.
Yes, you're empowered.
Highly empowered. Not just, I feel good, but like...
Euphorically, you
know, buzzing.
Empowered. Yes,
yeah. And I sort of... And I think maybe in the back of my mind from that point on, I thought, maybe I should have a fight. You know, just the one, mind you. At that stage, it was just the one.
On Life Matters today, my guest is Misha Mertz, whose book about boxing is called Bruising, A Boxer's Story. It's published by Volga Press. The thing is that you're very middle class, aren't you? And you're very well educated. And middle class, well educated women don't normally end up boxing.
Yes, but you'd be surprised to find that in America, where it's much more popular than here, it might be true that it's a kind of working class sport for the men, but so many middle class educated women like myself, especially in New York, where you know that we sort of spawn and proliferate, you know, like crazy. There's filmmakers and writers and artists and you know a lot of women in those middle class professions who are boxing, you know, are currently boxing or have boxed and competed, and it's an interesting kind of dynamic that goes on between sort of women like myself, I guess, and the sort of the dominant person in American boxing, which is African-American man.
Mm.
And mostly they're training the women. And I've been thinking about that a bit and wondering what that means, you know, in terms of the sort of gender and race relations. It's a kind of interesting mashup.
The thing about boxing is ultimately you get hit. And it's learning and being able to deal with being hit that is sort of part of the christening, if you like. What's it like to get that first punch to the head?
Oh, it's a terrible sort of affront, really, you know, because it's sort of insulting. It's, you know, why did you do that to me? It's, you know, it's very difficult to separate the sort of emotional response from the actual physical experience of it in the first instance, you know, the first, you know, little while of learning to box. At this stage of the game, for me, you know, 10 years in...
You don't get hit as much.
Yes, thankfully. And I don't really care about it as much. I've sort of detached myself from it. And it actually isn't that bad, you know. I mean, you just don't want it to happen too often.
I'm struck by several of the scenes that where you're talking about being in the gym in New York. And at some stage you're fighting and certainly sparring with women whom you like and whom like you. Your friends.
Yeah.
You're still trying to hit one another.
Oh, and I had even more of an experience of that in this last trip, that I was fighting a woman who I think was the most likeable woman on the whole tournament, you know. I mean, people just adored her. She was so charismatic. I asked her at one stage if she thought of running for Congress because she was so popular. And you know, right up until the point when we got into the ring, I had these, you know, very warm feelings towards her, and there was nothing I could do about it. You know, I'd never liked anyone so much that I was about to jump in the ring with. But, you know, she was competitive. So so once we were in. It was like that, all that. And it also, I guess, demonstrates that you don't really need to be angry or hate the person you're in the ring with. I mean, it's just a sport.
One of the things that you return to again and again when you're writing about this is this sort of fear that you discovered it too late. And you've been doing it 10 years and... I suppose you get asked, are you still doing it? Like you should have grown out of it by now? Or become, you know, too incipiently middle-aged to keep doing it? What are you doing?
Yes, well, I'm still doing it. I'm lucky that, you know, there is this master's division in America. I mean, I have to travel to compete, but there are people to fight and there's plenty of tournaments to fight on. And it's like a rebirth for me because really if I'd... By all rights, I should have started boxing when I was 10 and I would be in my 20s now as I was becoming kind of comfortable with the idea of it and my skills had improved. But, you know, I'm in my mid-40s and it's not usual for people of that age to be boxing. But
it's not usual for men of that age to be boxing.
No, that's right.
Let's face it, most men will never know what it's like to get in the ring.
Yes, that's right. It's a very, you know, it's a special kind of experience, I guess, not many people have. But, I mean, I think I'll just keep on doing it. At one point I thought, you know, really I've got to sort of find something else because I can't keep doing it. But I saw 50 and 60-year-olds boxing in Kansas City. And so, unfortunately, that means that I'll probably be doing it until I have to get in the ring with a Zimmer frame.
Actually, you can imagine the Americans setting up a special Zimmer frame division, a kind
yes.
of master's division.
That's right. Yeah. Wheelchair boxing. It'll come.
You'd be up for that by the sound of things, Misha.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I'm completely addicted to boxing. I mean, I've tried to sort of walk away from it and think, well, 5 years, 6 years, that's enough, isn't it? You know, but slowly but surely, I've improved. And it's taken a long time, but that improvement has been like a carrot dangling in front of me. I just want to keep on trying to improve more. I haven't kind of given up hope yet that my skills will get better and that it's not a lost cause.
But aren't you slowing down? Isn't that part of what's happening?
Actually, I don't think so.
You're not slowing down.
I don't think so.
Still got the lateral movement.
Well, yes. I mean, I think actually now I'm better and faster than I was when I was younger. But I was never really a young boxer, so I've got nothing to compare it with. But I don't think I'm slowing down.
Can I just ask about the nose? How many times have it been busted?
I think probably only twice. I mean, I say probably only twice, but I don't know what's going on in there. It's certainly been bruised a lot. It was broken in a very dramatic way early on when I was learning to box, when I really literally walked into a punch and it kind of shot across my face. And everyone, I was training in a gym that was very blokey and kind of grubby and dirty, and everyone just thought it was hilarious and they all laughed. And I kept on boxing because I thought, oh, I shouldn't stop, you know, they just think it's a joke. And I wasn't too alarmed until I looked at myself in the mirror and saw that my nose was kind of where my cheekbone was, and just sort of lost the plot a bit then. And my trainer at the time, who's the brother of Lester Ellis, a very famous Australian world champion boxer, whose nose is also a bit bent, looked at it and said, we're just trying to teach you to sniff around corners. And he put his thumb on my on my sort of broken nose, I guess, and pushed it back into place.
See, that would have been the point, if I'd got that far, when I'd have gone back to swimming. Misha, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show today. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
That was boxer, journalist and author Misha Mertz. She's also quite a storyteller, and her book, A Boxer's Story, is published by Volga Press. Just time to let you know about tomorrow on Life Matters, and a chance to listen again to one of our most popular interviews of 2009, The Worst Mom in America. Tune in to find out how she got the title and why baby boomers are so litigious. That and more on our next show. I'm Richard Adie. Bye for now.